All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed Gimel. Today we're going to begin the fourth parak of Maseches Nedarim, which is going to begin with the Mishnah a very famous Ein Bein Mishnah. This Mishnah appears in other Maseches as well. It appeared in Maseches Megillah. So the Mishnah is going to tell us the difference between somebody who takes a nether that he's not going to have any hanah from his friend versus somebody who takes a nether that he's not going to have hanah from his friend's food or from his friend's preparation of food. And the Mishnah is going to explain, and the Gemara is going to expound on the difference, on the potential differences between these types of various nedarim. What would be included in one nether but excluded from the other nether with a more narrow scope, so on and so forth. And then the next Mishnah, there's a little Mishnah on Lama Gimel Lamed Aleph, which is really a continuation of the first Mishnah, which still talks about what the difference is between one who makes a neder that he's not going to have anah from his friend and one who makes a neder that he's not going to have anah from the ma'achal of his friend. Then the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph is going to begin the discussion, which is going to proceed over the course of a few days, and is going to talk about the various things that you are allowed, that your friend is allowed to do for you, even though you are noder hanah from your friend. So, for example, if you take a neder that you're not going to have hanah from your friend, is your friend allowed to set aside and pay the machzis hashekel on your behalf? Is your friend allowed to repay a debt that you owe? So the answer to both of these is going to be yes. Is your friend going to be allowed to be machzir an aveda that you lost, to return a lost object? So the Gemara is going to explain why exactly your friend is allowed to do these three things for you if, after all, you are noder that you're not going to have any anah from your friend. It seems to be a little bit contradictory. So the Mishnah and the Gemara that follows is going to get into that. We will most likely cover the part about Pareachovo, and we will leave for tomorrow, or beginning tomorrow, the meat of the discussion of Machzir Avedoso. So in any event, says the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, beginning of the fourth parak, Ein Bein Hamoder Ano Mechavero Lamoder Emenu Machal. There is no difference between one who is moder hanah, moder getting any hanah from his friend, to one who is moder getting only hanah from his friend's food, ella drisa saregel, except for drisa saregel. What's drisa saregel? So the Ran explains drisa saregel is just merely traversing over the friend's property, walking across the friend's property, v'chelim she'en osim bem ochal nefesh, and kelim that are not used in preparing food. So the Ran explains what this means is like this, that if Reuven takes a neder that he's not able to be nene from Shimon, he's not able to have anah from Shimon at all, then he is not even allowed to walk across, he's not even allowed to walk across Shimon's property. Because if you do walk across Shimon's property, Reuven would be getting anah from Shimon. The Mefarish explains, and these are the two critical words in the Mefarish, or the whole Mefarish is four words, but Mefarish has Eladrisus Aregel, Lavar Bachatzero Ulekatzer Darko, in order to use his friend's property as a shortcut. So, for example, the Mefarish says the reason that Drisus Aregel is considered to be a hana is not stam that it's a hana to be on your friend's property, but it's a hanah to use your friend's property for the purpose of a shortcut, if it enables you to get where you were going more quickly. So says the Mishnah that if you're moder hanah, period, from your friend, you're not even allowed to walk on his property, and you're not even allowed to borrow from him kalim that are not used in the preparation of food. If you're noder that you're not going to have hanah from only the food of your friend, then you're allowed to walk across his property, because walking across his property has nothing to do with food, and you're allowed to use, and you are allowed to use his kalim that are not used in the process of food preparation. because after all, you are noder against only your friend's food. These kalim that are stam, regular kalim, not used in the process of food preparation, have nothing to do with food. The Ran says it's not a blanket statement. This is only where the kalim aren't ordinarily rented out. So, for example, Reuven is noder anah from Shimon that he's not going to have anah from his friends from Shimon's food. Is Reuven allowed to borrow Shimon's hammer because he needs to hang up a picture? So the Ran says the Mishnah says yes, you are allowed to borrow. Reuven is allowed to borrow Shimon's hammer because a hammer is not related to food preparation whatsoever. However, says the Ran, that's only where a hammer is not usually rented out. All right, but if people usually charge others in order to borrow a hammer, and Shimon gives Reuven his hammer for free, then Reuven wouldn't be allowed to take the hammer, even though he was only noder against Shimon's food. Why? Says the Ran, because you could use the money that you save on the rental fee and use that money to buy food. So, in other words, even if the benefit to food, or even if the connection to food is very, very tenuous, is attenuated, you're still not allowed to borrow something from your friend for free if that item is usually rented out, because you may use the saved rental fee and use that money in order to buy food. That is, so explains the Ran. So says the Mishnah Vayter, second line in the Mishnah, Hamoder Machal Machavero, if a person is Moder all sorts of food, if a person is Moder, there's Moder Machal from his friend, meaning that he's Noder, that he's not going to have enough from his friend's food, then Lo Yeshilenu Nafa Uchvara Vrechayim Vitaner, he's not allowed to borrow from him any of, this means that if his fellow is Noder food from him, then he's not allowed to lend, but the nether works both ways. Either the fellow was noder food from him, or if he was noder food from his friend, they're not allowed to loan each other these types of things, a winnower and a mill and an oven, anything that is used in the process of even things which are, he's not allowed to borrow or lend to him things which are used in the process of okal nefesh, avol mashilo, Chalok, v'tabas, v'talus, and nizamim. But you're allowed to borrow or loan to him, depending on the perspective of the neder, a shirt or a ring or a talus or earrings. So in other words, basically the last line of the Mishnah is not really adding anything, because we already saw this. But all that we're saying is that if a person is moder machal from his friend, then you're not allowed to borrow from him or lend to him anything that's used in the process of food preparation, even though it might be considered like a gorem de gorem, even though it might be considered so far removed from the food. In other words, when I think food, what do you think about in terms of preparing food? You think about a pot. You wouldn't necessarily think about a mill to grind the flour, you know, to grind the wheat to make flour, or the winnower to deal with the produce that you're going to use in the process of wheat to bake. You might not think that that's included in the nether. Says the Mishnah, no, it is included in the nether. So anything that has to do with the process of food preparation, no matter how far removed from the end product it might be, would be usur, would be included in the nether. Something that is not used in the process of food preparation, like a shirt or a talis, would be mutter, because that obviously has nothing to do with food. The Gemara is going to be troubled with what exactly is the chiddush of this last line of the Mishnah. You already told me that a person who is noder hana from his friend is not allowed to borrow kelim she'enosem b'mochol nefesh, but a person who is moder hana only from food is allowed to use kelim she'enosem b'mochol nefesh. The talis, the nizamim, the tabas, they're all kelim she'enosem b'mochol nefesh. So what's the chiddush of the last line in the Mishnah? We'll get to that, God willing, in the Gemara. It says the Gemara like this. So mantana. So who is the Tana of our Mishnah? So the Ran explains, what kind of question is this? We're asking, who is the Tana of the Mishnah who holds that if you're Moder Hana, if you're Moder all sorts of Hana from your friend, then you're not even allowed to walk across his property? So who's the Man D'Amar who says that walking across somebody's property constitutes Hana? So Amar Avada Barahava, Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Vitor, afilu vitor aser b'moder hana. Even vitor is aser by a moder. Even vitor is aser by a moder hana. So, in other words, if a person is moder hana from his friend, he's not even allowed to get this thing called vitor. What's vitor? So the Ran explains that the traditional vitor is that which the mocher, that which the seller adds, if somebody buys, let's say, a bushel of apples, it would be typical. Somebody would buy a bushel of apples, the seller would throw in an extra apple or two. And it's obvious that the seller doesn't care about the extra apple. He's not machshav it as being anything of importance. Why v'haraya? Whenever a buyer comes and buys a bushel of apples, the seller throws in the extra apples, like the 13th bagel, if you buy a dozen bagels. Obviously, the seller doesn't care about it, but even though the seller doesn't care about it, he's not machshav it and doesn't think that it's a davar chashuv, still, you are not allowed to get that vitor, you're not allowed to accept that extra item in the case of a moder hana. And so too, by drisas haregel, by walking across your friend's, you're not allowed to do that. Even though generally people aren't makbid if you walk across your friend's property. In other words, if I walk across your front lawn, you're not going to mind. You're not going to kick me off. But even though you're not going to kick me off, which is a symbol that that you don't mind, still I'm not allowed to do it if I'm moder anah from you, because Rabbi Eliezer says vitur is usur by moder anah. The rabbanon, however, are cholik on Rabbi Eliezer. And they say that in a case where a person is not makbid, if lo kapti inchi, then it's not considered anah at all. So therefore, if the mocher is not makbid of giving an extra apple or two, that's not considered anah, because the mocher is not makbid. Why are you going to consider it anah from the perspective of the lokeach? So too, if Shimon is not makbid, if Reuven walks across his property, that's not considered a anah to Reuven, because Shimon doesn't care. So the Chachamim are cholek on Rebbe Eliezer. The Ramban Paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. This is cited in the Ran towards the end of the Gemara, but we'll mention it here. But Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Tam paskin like the Rabbanan. Now the Ran also says that it's important to note that our Mishnah, when it talks about the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer and Vitor, it talks about drisas haregel. It talks about cutting across your friend's property, just like simply walking across the property. That's the type of sort of imposition that a person's not going to be makbid about. However, the Ran mentions this because he distinguishes this from another type of use of property that we see in Maseches Baba Basra, where two shutfin own a property, where we talk about actually lingering in your shutuf's portion of the courtyard. And in the sugya in Baba Basra, we do say that the shutfin are kapti adadi, that the shutfin are makbid on one another. So the Ran says, how could this sugya say that the person doesn't care if somebody walks across his property, and the sugya in Baba Basra seems to indicate that people are makbid if others are on their own property? So the Ran says, the chiluk is obviously, what are you doing on the guy's property? If you're still walking across, then a person doesn't care. If you're going to sit on my front lawn and have a picnic, then I do care. So the case in Baba Basra is talking about where the shutuf lingers on his fellow's property. That obviously people are makbid about. However, stam to walk across somebody's property, nobody's going to be makbid. If nobody's makbid, that's considered vitur. Yet if our Mishnah says that if a guy's moder anah from his friend, he's not even allowed to do that, not even allowed to walk across his property, that's got to be the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that vitur is usur b'moder hanah. Good. Says the Gemara Vayter, last line on Lamavezim Abeis. Hamoder machal mechavero lo yashilenelo. If a person is moder to his friend, that his friend's not allowed to have any anos machal from him, then he's not allowed to lend him these items which are used in the process of food preparation, but he's allowed to lend him other items that have nothing to do with food. So it says frek the Gemara, von min machal nadar. So, says the Gemara, I don't even understand this ruling in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that if I'm moder machal on my friend, I'm not allowed to loan him a winnower and a mill. Why not? I said, I am not going to permit my friend to have enough from my food. This stuff is not food. I can't lend him cereal, I can't give him eggs, I can't give... Fine, anything that's food, I understand I can't give him. But why can't I give him this stuff, which is not food, it's a meal, it's used in the preparation of food. Why is that included in the neder? So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokesh, Rish Lokesh says, Biomar hanoas macholcha alai. You're right. It's not that he says, I'm no der machal on my friend. If he was no der machal on his friend, then taka, that would only pick up food. Because he says, I know der hanaas macholcha, the hanah of my food is usur on that guy. And right now, the Gemara's havamin is that because he adds the word hanaas macholcha and doesn't say only machal, the addition of the word hanaas macholcha comes to include even these things which are gorem lamachal, even these things which are used in the preparation of food. Says the Gemara, that's what Hanos Macholcha means. Ema Shlo Yilos Chitin V'Yiten Al Machaso. I might think that a person should not give his friend chewed up wheat to put on his wound. In other words, says the Ran, Hanos Macholcha, we're interpreting now the neder very, very technically and very literally. Hanos Macholcha means you are not allowed to have any hana'ah from my food. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have any hana'ah from something that's used in the preparation of food. It means that if there is a non-conventional way to benefit from food, to benefit from my machol, then you're not allowed to have it. That means that you're not allowed to eat my food because that's a conventional way of having hana'ah. It also means that you're not allowed to have any other sort of hana'ah from my food. In other words, if you have a wound and you want to put a little cream on the wound, and they used to make a cream by chewing up wheat and putting it on the wound, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that either. The Rishonim are bothered why this would be usher. Generally, when the Torah prohibits a type of hana'ah, the hana'ah is only prohibited when it's kederech hana'asan. That generally, in order to be included in this isser hana'ah, it's got to be the normal way in which people are neh from the item. Now, the normal way to be neh from wheat is to eat the wheat. The normal way to be neh from wheat is certainly not to chew the wheat up and put it on your wound. So if that's not the normal way to be neh from the wheat, why is it included in this type of neder? So Tosfos answers like this, that generally kederech hana'asan is only where something is usur ba'achila. It's really only where something is usur ba'achila, and now you're going to use it in a different way, therefore it's going to be mutter if you use it in an unconventional way. However, where the isser hana'ah is not expressed through an isser achila, where there's a blanket isser hana'ah, then both the general form, both kederech hana'asan and shelo kederech hana'asan, are going to be usser. Over here, this isser hana'ah was never expressed through a lashon of lo sochal, through a lashon of don't eat it, because this isser hana'ah was expressed through a neder. Since it was expressed through a neder and not through an isser of achila, both hana'ah kederech and hana'ah shelo kederech are both usher. So that's why Tosfos explains why this type of unusual and unconventional hana would be usher. So then they raise a problem with the answer of Tosfos, because it says in the Gemara Pesachim that a person is allowed to sit in the shade of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, since the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were made to serve the inside of the Beis HaMikdash and not for the purpose of giving shade outside the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos says the reason that you're allowed to derive that type of benefit from the walls of the Beis HaMikdash is because that the Beis HaMikdash is the using the walls of the Beis HaMikdash for shade is not kederech hanasan. It's benefit which is derived in an unusual manner. It's shelo kederech hanasan. But if the Beis HaMikdash is usher to be used for regular purposes, for pedestrian purposes, because of hektish, and hektish is like a neder, according to Tosfos, this should be an isser hana'ah which is not couched in the terms of an isser achila, and therefore both hana'ah kederech hana'asah and hana'ah shelo kederech hana'asah should be usher here. So the Tosfos and Pesachim answers that the hana'ah from hektish is in fact derived from gzeirah shava through the isser hana'ah from truma, and by truma the Torah does say you can't eat truma. So therefore, the isser hana'ah that exists by hektish of the Beis HaMikdash would apply only kederech hana'asan, not shelo kederech hana'asan, because that whole hana'ah is derived from gzeirah shava from truma, where it does introduce the isser hana'ah through an isser of achila. So that's a way to explain here the difference between whether we're going to aser shelo kederech hana'asa or whether we're going to say that it's mutter of shelo kederech hana'asa. Over here, we're dealing with an eder that does not have anything to do with an isser with a restriction that's introduced to us through a lashon of lo sochal or lo sachilu. So therefore, it's aser to put the wheat on his wound like a little bit of a cream, like a salve for the makkah. So says the Gemara Vayter, the third line down. So Amar Rava. So Biomer Hanoa Hameviya Lide Macholcha Alai. No, so it says Rava that the Hanos Macholcha, Hanos, if he said only Hanos Macholcha, that would only mean that he's not able to have Ana, non conventional Ana from his Machol. Still, why would lending him these pots and pans and the oven and the mill all be yasser? Because he said, Ana Hameviya Lide Machol Alai. You are not allowed to have any Ana that brings to food from me. So in other words, anything that's used in the food preparation process, you are not allowed to have that ana from me. So the Ran says, to sum up, if you say that you're not able, that your friend, if you're moder machol from your friend, that means that only food is included. If you're moder hanos macholka, that would aser food, and because that's the conventional way of having ana from food, is to eat the food, obviously. It would also aser having an unconventional ana from food, like chewing up the chitin and putting it on your wound. If you say ana habevili de machol, then it's going to be aser to lend him these types of kalim that are used in the process of preparing food. But says the Ran, it would be mutter to chew up the wheat and put it on his wound, because that is not a hanah hameviya lidei machol. That's a hanah machocha. That's a hanah from the machol. But it's not a hanah hameviya lidei machol. So if you say that you're not going to allow your friend to have any hanah hameviya lidei machol, you're not allowed to lend him food, and you're also not allowed to lend him anything that's used in the process of preparing the food. Good. So now the Gemara introduces a question. Summer of Papa, sak lahavi peros. How about if there's a sack, if there's a sackcloth to bring, to transport peros, the chamor lahavi alea peros, or a donkey to use in the transportation, vafilu tzina ba'alma, and even a basket is anoa mevila de machalu. That's all considered anoa mevila de machal. Why? Because they could be used in the transport of food. Obviously, if you transport food to somebody, you are enabling that person to eat the food and to benefit from the food. Therefore, even these things, as indirect as they may be, are all going to be usher. So now Rapapa has a question. So boy, Rapapa, sus lirko valav, if the guy wants to lend or borrow, depending on the perspective of the neder, a horse to ride on, presumably in order to get to wherever they're serving a meal with the food that is usher to him, bitabas lirosbo, or if he wants to borrow a signet ring to be seen with at the meal, the Ran says, what's this about the horse and what's this about the signet ring? So the Ran says he wants to look like a big knocker, like he wants to pull up in his fancy horse and he wants to show up wearing his flashy jewelry. He thinks that if he shows up with his fancy signet ring, they're going to give him a better portion. They're going to think he's an Adam Chashev, they're going to give him a better portion. So in other words, these things, samahu. So that's for Papa's question. So are these things considered to be ana mevila de machol because they might be used and you might be perceived by other people in a more favorable light, which is going to induce them to give you a better portion of food? Or do we say, come on, this is so attenuated, there's no connection here? So says the Gemara, another question. So mifsuk umezel ba'are, to make a shortcut in order to get to a suda, to make a shortcut to go across his field. My, what's the halacha here? In other words, is this stam considered to be a grumma, or is this also considered to be ano hamevila de machal? So toshma, so the Gemara tries to resolve the question. Avomashilo chalok vitalis nizamin vitabos. The Gemara tries to answer this question from the Seif of our Mishnah. The Seif of our Mishnah said that if a guy is moder hanos machol from his friend, then he's not allowed to lend to his friend the tanner and the mill, because that's used in the process of food preparation. But what are you allowed to lend to him? A chaluk, a shirt, a talis, nizamim, vitabos. You're allowed to loan him these rings. So that answers Rapapa's question. So says the Gemara, hey chedami. So what case is the Mishnah talking about? If we're dealing with a case where the guy's not going to use a signet ring for appearing like a knacker at the suda in order to get the better portion, so is it really a chiddush to tell me that you're allowed to loan him these things? You made an eder that he's not allowed to have enough from your food. Of course you're allowed to loan him your ring. It's got nothing to do with food. Elalav afila laros ben v'ktani mashilo elamai. It must be that the reason that the guy wants to borrow your signet ring is so he can show it at the meal, and so they'll give him a bigger portion. Yet we see mashilo that you are allowed to loan him, that you are allowed to loan him your ring. So we see from here a proof that such a grumma, such a far attenuated connection to whatever portion of food he might get is not considered to be included in the neder. Says the Gemara, lo, it's not a raya. Liolam shalolaros. Really, we're talking about only where the guy is going to borrow the ring dafka, not to show it at the meal in order to get a better portion. So in that case, what's the chiddush of the safe of the Mishnah? Of course, you're allowed to loan him a ring. Then it's got nothing to do with food. And since the Reisha says, since the Reisha talks about the things that you are not allowed to loan to your friend, if you are no der from Michael, even though these things are a little bit further removed in the process of food preparation, like the mill for grinding the wheat into flour. So we say in the Seifa that you are allowed to loan him those things. Not that there's a chiddush; it doesn't come to answer a Papa Shaila. Just Tom, it's coming to teach me that if you make a neder against Sanos Macholcha, then you're allowed to loan to your friend things that have nothing to do with food at all. The Ran, as has been his derech, we've seen this already over the past couple of days and throughout the Masechta, whenever there is a suffek that's left by the Gemara, the Ran will always paskin the Chumrah. So also over here, the suffek of Rav Papa is not resolved. We tried to bring a raya from our Mishnah. We couldn't bring a raya. Therefore, we have no resolution of Rav Papa Shita either way. So the Ran paskins l'chumra. The Rambam points out that, yeah, the Ran might paskin l'chumra, but we don't give the guy malchus. In other words, if the guy takes a neder that he's not going to have hanos macholcha from his friend, and then he borrows a ring from his friend, we don't know whether that's considered to be the neder or not. That's Rapapa Shaila. The Ran says l'chumra, that is included in the neder, but he wouldn't get malchus, says the Rambam, for violating Bal Yachal. Because even though it's, yeah, Sofik Daraisa, but it's not, it's too misupak whether it's included in the nether and actually in order to actually give him an onesh. Okay, so says the next Mishnah. And in a case, there are many Rishonim who say that this is actually part of the prior Mishnah because it really flows. And in fact, the Ran had mentioned this on the prior Mishnah, that we had said that if a guy takes a neder that his friend is not allowed to have hanos ochol nefesh from him, hanos machol from him, then he's not allowed to lend to his friend things which are used in the process of food preparation, but he's allowed to lend to his friend things that are not used in the process of food preparation. And we saw the Ran on the prior Mishnah, only if those items are not usually rented out. But if he's going to loan to his friend for free something that's usually rented out, that's usur, even if the item that he's loaning has nothing to do with food. Why? Because the money that the friend is going to save and not having to pay a rental fee, but being able to borrow it for free, he's going to use to buy food, that's going to be usur. So says the Gemara, so mechlal deresha, so it's apparent that in the resha, where the guy is loaning the nafa and the kvara, where the guy is loaning the items that are considered to be ochol nefesh, afal pi she'ein maschirin, even though they're not things that are ordinarily rented out. In other words, the qualification that you're not allowed to loan these things only if they're ordinarily rented out, that's only by the things that are not used in the process of ochol nefesh. They're not used in the process of food preparation. The things that you're not allowed to lend to the guy because they are considered to be food preparation, you're not allowed to lend to him even for free. You're not allowed to lend to him even if they're not things that are ordinarily rented out. So man Tana, who's this Tana who says that you're not allowed to loan to your friends things that you obviously don't care about, because if you cared about them, you would usually take a rental fee when you loan them out. So if you're willing to loan them out for free, it's obvious that you don't care about it. So Ravada Barahava Rabbi Eliezer, he again says a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who we saw in the prior Mishnah, who said that even Vitor is Usur B'moder Hana, and therefore, if this is the type of Hana that fits within the Neder, and over here loaning a mill or a tanner is the type of hanoah that would fit into the nether not to have hanoas ma cholcha alai. So you would not be allowed to have that type of hanoah or to give the other fellow that type of hanoah, even if it's a case of vitor, even if it's a case of hanoah that people don't usually care about. So says the next Mishnah. Hamoder hanoah mechavero. If a guy is moder hanoah from his friend, shokel lo a shiklo, he could take his friend could his friend could take the machzis hashekel for him. In other words, it's a little confusing who's moder on noah from who. So there's the moder, there's the guy who makes the neder not to have that his friend is not going to have his friend is not allowed to have noah from him. And then there's the muder, who is the guy who's the subject of the neder. So in other words, the moder, the guy who's not allowed to give anot to his friend, is allowed to separate the machzis hashekel for the subject of the neder, for the friend who's not allowed to have anot from him. Upareas chovo. Similarly, the madir can repay the chov, the debts of the mudar. Umachzir lo asavedaso, and he could also return his lost item. And we'll see why in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to engage in a lengthy discourse back and forth, who is allowed to return the aveda to who. So we'll see this in the Gemara. Even though pashtus, you would think that the madir is allowed to return the aveda to the mudar, the guy who took the neder that his friend's not allowed to have anah from him is still allowed to return his friend's lost object. That's the pashtut way of reading the Gemara. We'll see, maybe that's not so. Makom shenotlin alei schar, in a place where they take schar for returning an aveda, tipol hana lehektish. Then the hana has to go to hektish. Why? Because if I take a neder that Mr. X is not allowed to have hana from me, and I return Mr. X's aveda, so we already saw the Mishnah said that's not considered to be hana because I'm just giving back to him what was his. I'm not giving him an extra hana. But if the minig in the place is for the Baal Aveda to pay the machzir a fee, because the machzir had to take time off from work to return the Aveda, and I refuse the fee, well, now I'm benefiting the guy, because I said he's not allowed to have a no from me. I gave him his Aveda, fine. I gave him what was his. But now I'm not going to take the fee. This guy is going to get an extra, he's going to have an extra $5, because he doesn't have to pay the $5 fee to me. I'm not allowed to give the guy that I know. We'll see that in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, that a guy, the reason that the madir is allowed to repay the debts of the mudar, if Reuven takes an eder that Shimon's not allowed to have anah from him, the reason that Reuven's allowed to repay Shimon's chov is because it's simply considered to be avruchei ari. Repaying a chov is considered to be chasing away a lion. In other words, it's not considered like Reuven is giving any hanah to Shimon. He's merely forestalling a loss to Shimon. He's deferring a loss. And deferring a loss is not considered to be a hana. Says the Ran, why is Shokalo a Shiklo not considered to be hana? If Reuven takes an edit that Shimon cannot have hana from him, why could Reuven give the machzis hashekel on Shimon's behalf? He's saving Shimon from an obligation. So there were a couple of answers given in the Rishonim. One is that it's a mitzvah, so the mitzvah is not considered to be hana. The other is, what's the whole purpose of machzis hashekel? Machzis hashekel is to have a chelik in the karbanos sibur. But the halacha is that you have a chelik in the karbanos sibur even if you don't give the machzis hashekel. So true, you're giving the machzis hashekel for him, but it's not like the guy wouldn't have a chelik in the karbanos were it not for the fact that you gave the machzis hashekel. So it's not really considered to be such a hana. So says the Gemara, Man Tana. So who's the Tana who says that repaying a chov is only avruchei ari and it's not considered to be ana? So Amar Rav Oshia, Zu Divrei Chanani. This is the words of Chanan. We saw Chanan earlier in the Masechta. Chanan had said that if a person gives mezonos to his wife's friend, if a person supports his friend's wife, then Hiniach Mosav Al Keren Atzvi. Chanan says that he stomp threw away his money. In other words, he lost his money, and it's because he's not nene. He loses his money because his friend doesn't have to pay him back. Because what is the chiyuv? The chiyuv to support your wife, that's a debt that the husband owes to the wife. But if a person is parea, the chov of his friend, it's not considered to be a hana that his friend has to repay. So this Mishnah is going like Chanan. That's what Rav Oshia says. My Rava says, no, afilu tema divrei akol. It could be going like everybody. It could be going like a divrei akol. Gabi modar ano diyav al menashe lo lefroa. But the reason that you're allowed to repay your friend's obligations is because this was a weird type of loan. It was a type of loan where the lender stipulated that it never has to be repaid. So if the lender stipulated that it never has to be repaid, you're not being mahana, you're not being nana, your friend, when you repay his loan, because it was like a dummy sort of loan where it never had to be repaid. That's why. But if it was a bona fide loan, then I would agree that the Chachamim at least would agree that you're not allowed to repay it. So my Chanan, what's the sheet of Chanan that we're mentioning here? Zitnan, Misha halach l'medina sayam v'amed acha echad upirnes es ishto. If a guy goes to Medina Sayam and his friend gets up and supports his wife, so Chanan Omar ibed es mosav. Chanan says that he lost his money. He said hiniach mosav al keren atzvi, that he lost his money because he's repaid his friend's obligation, but his friend is not obligated to repay him for paying the debt, because it's not considered that he gave anah to his friend. He stam forestalled a loss, and deferring a loss is different than providing actual benefit in Chanan's view. Nechliku alav b'nei kohanim gadolim. The b'nei kohanim gadolim argue va'amru, and they say yishava kama yitol. No, that he can recoup his losses, that he has to swear how much he spent in supporting his friend's wife, and then he could collect it from his friend. So Amar Rab Dosa ben Arkinas Kedivrayim, and Rab Dosa ben Arkinas said that the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim are more mustaber, that he should be able to recoup whatever he used in supporting his friend's wife. So Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Yafar Mar Chanan, that no, what Chanan says is actually correct, that Hiniach Mosav al Keren Atzvi, that Hiniach Mosav al Keren Atzvi, that he stomped through away his money, he wasted his money, he's never going to get it back. So Rava Lomark Rav Oshia, I understand Rava, who said that we're dealing with this weird type of loan where the lender said that it never had to be paid back, and therefore even the Chachamim would agree that in this case, repaying such a loan is not considered to be a hana. I understand why Rava didn't know like Rav Yoshia, Dekamukam Lalamasis and Kedivrei Akol, because he wanted to set up the Mishnah to be going both like Chanan and like the Shita of the Chachamim. He didn't want to pigeonhole the Mishnah into the Shita of Chanan. So Rav Oshia lo amar karava, but Rav Yoshia didn't hold. Why didn't Rav Oshia hold like Rava? Because Gzeira shalo lefroa mishum lefroa. Because he said, well, look, hang on. If you're going to hold like the Chachamim say that generally repaying the chov of your friend is considered to be a hana, and your friend has to pay you back. So our Mishnah said, though, that if Reuven takes a neder that he's not going to have hana from Shimon, then Shimon's allowed to repay Reuven's chov. But we said that's only where it was the type of weird chov where the lender stipulated that it never had to be repaid. But if you're going to permit repayment of a chov on your friend's behalf in a case where it was a dummy chov that never had to be repaid, we're afraid that you might come to do that even in the case of a conventional chov, even in the case of a conventional loan where it did have to be repaid, and therefore, if you do so, you are going to come to do something that is usur. In other words, the Ran says there is really no case that the Chachamim would say, there is no case in which the Chachamim would say it's permitted to repay your friend's obligation. Because when it's an obligation that has an end date, when it's a conventional loan, the Chachamim say that's a benefit, because paying somebody's Baal Chov for him is considered to be a benefit. And when it's a loan that doesn't have a due date, when it's a loan that doesn't have a maturity date, that the lender stipulated was never collected, still the Chachamim would say that you're not allowed to repay that loan. Gzeira, that you might come to repay a conventional loan and therefore be mahana your friend. So that's why Rav Oshia didn't want to touch up like Rava, because Rav Oshia would say that the Chachamim would agree that you can't repay the loan in any instance, even if it's the type of weird loan that doesn't have a maturity date. Okay, so this is it for today. We'll pick up tomorrow with a discussion of Machzor Aveda and what case exactly that is talking about in the Mishnah.